Hallelujah. Tuesday night aerobics. Holy Ghost aerobics. God is good, isn't he? All the time, man. You never know what's going to happen, especially when you come here. We just want to be led by the Spirit, amen? Always. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to dance the flesh off, you know? Glory! You know, we've been talking about all the things that have been going on in the world right now, and, you know, you have to be an idiot if you can't see what's happening. We know that time is short. You know, people are lost. Lost is L-O-S-T, living outside of salvation's truth. But God is moving. He doesn't look at circumstances. Does everybody, you know, circumstances don't change Dad. In fact, the Word says he turns all things to the good to those who love him, right? Amen. And what's going on? We talked about, you know, in such a time as this, that it's time to get closer to the Lord. That's where he talks about hiding in the secret place. And maintaining that area of being closer to the Lord and hiding in that secret place for revelations and impartations and, you know, there's protection and there's favor. It's an area where there's divine order always associated with it. And one of the things God is trying to do is get his children in a divine order. So where there's a divine order or divine nature can be manifested, there's divine protection and there's divine favor, which we need favor of God right now. And so there's got to be a place of position which you and I must be in all the time. And one of those areas of being close to the Lord, maintaining that place of position, there's something that we must maintain, and that is a godly appetite. Everyone say godly appetite. And appetite is associated with something that you desire. You know, you have an appetite. Why? Because you desire something. You want to eat something. And, you know, the Word says what you confess is what you possess. And what you speak is what you eat. And what you eat is what you become. And in this area of maintaining a godly appetite. And there is a guideline for godly appetite. And I want to go to John chapter 6, please. Maintaining a godly appetite. And the Word says in Proverbs that if you are a glutton, that you're better to slice your throat. Hello? Those are things that eating, that are things that are harmful. In other words, just indulging in things that are not healthy, that are harmful. And, you know, people are indulging things in the spirit that are harmful to them. Demonic, going to witch doctors, accursed items, speaking things. In other words, what they're sowing is what they're reaping. You know, doing tarot cards. People don't even realize that when you go to a Chinese restaurant, don't read the fortune cookie. Eat it and throw the other part out. You don't need to read horoscopes. Those are all things where people are actually eating what we call spiritual junk food, because then it brings a curse on people. And they don't know. The Bible says, come out from among them. Don't touch those clean. Touch those things. And men that are unclean. So there are still people with what they call, I've seen a Christian logo on the back of a card, and I see what they call a wind catcher or something like that, dream catcher hanging from there, and like it's going to catch, the only thing it's doing is drawing demonic activity. But I see this fish on the bumper, and then I see this thing, and it's like, you know, God says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And you know, the things that we do as parents go down to our children. They inherit it. And so we're in that season right now that God is just breaking things. He's exposing things. He's releasing revelation, knowledge with more wisdom and understanding. And he's saying, come closer to me and I'll show you things that you never could think of. I'll bring you where no man has gone before. In John chapter 6, yes. Praise God. Is everybody there? Okay, in verse 34, let's speak it then. Is everybody there? Let's speak together. Then said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to him, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. In other words, what he's saying is, you know, people think, oh, you mean I'm never going to be hungry or thirsty again? No, he's talking about thirst or hunger for the things of worldliness. You, in other words, you won't desire those things. That appetite for the world will begin to diminish the more that you eat from the true bread of life, him. He said, but I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I want you to understand, as you begin to eat and drink of the things of the Spirit of God, you begin to manifest his will. But why? Because there's a desire to these things, and then there's an exchange of the appetite from the world for the appetite of the things of the Spirit of God. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. How many of y'all want to be raised up the last day? Amen. So we see here that he is the bread of life. Not the bread of this life, the bread of eternal life. Amen. He is the bread of all life that has been given. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Can you lower this just a sec? Hallelujah. Maintaining godly appetite. And verse 3. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who what? Who hunger and thirst. Now listen, they're not hungering and thirst for pizza or wings. Hello? They hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness. That is an appetite that God desires for me and you to have. An appetite of righteousness. You know, the Lord said, many will come to me in the last days, and they'll say, I cast out devils, I laid hands on the sick, I fed the poor, and everything. And the Lord says, depart from me because you practice lawlessness. That's a life without the law of God or without the righteousness of Christ. Does everybody understand that? So in this area, he says, those who thirst and hunger for righteousness, it says, for they shall be what? Filled with what? The Spirit. They'll be filled with the Spirit. So in this, there's an area where your appetite and my appetite has got to be an appetite for righteousness. Is honesty a part of righteousness? Yes. Yeah. Honesty. I'll tell you, people have a hard time with being honest. And the reason why they lie is because they're afraid. And if they're afraid, well, God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, and sound mind. So there's an open door in their life for fear, because fear is a desire. People don't realize that. Did you ever notice that people who are afraid, fearful, they associate with other people that are fearful. People that are addicts associate with people that are addicts. Does everybody get it? Because it's an ungodly desire. And in this ungodly desire, it needs to be exchanged for a godly desire, which produces and maintaining a godly appetite. We want to maintain a godly appetite. So we must thirst and hunger for righteousness so that we, you and I, can be what? Filled. Go to Matthew 6 and verse 32. Start at 31. Matthew 6, 31. Is everybody there? Read it with me. Therefore do not what? Is worry fear? Yeah. Don't worry. Don't desire it. Don't worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the what? Kingdom of God and his what? Here we go. And his righteousness. And all things will be added to you. In other words, seek the kingdom of God. Maintain that appetite of righteousness. And then things will be added to us. One of the things that happens is the enemy comes in and he begins to nullify, disqualify, or begin to cause you to lose your appetite for righteousness, where people begin to compromise. They become complacent. They become lazy. They become prideful. Well, this might be for you, but it's not for me. You know how many times a message comes forth? Remember, we don't do Bible study. We do training sessions. Why? Because God is always exposing a tactic of the enemy, and he always gives us the counter attack. Amen? So one of the things that the enemy's trying to do right now is cause you to exchange the godly appetite of righteousness for an ungodly appetite of a desire for the world. He's always trying to do that. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Okay, where am I? It says, verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own what? Its own trouble. Man, we got enough stuff to deal with, you know? So those who thirst and hunger for righteousness will be filled, and those who seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness will be added to them. So what is he talking about? The word says that in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. So being filled. And it is right here in our pleasures. Those are provisions. So not only will there be an area where we maintain a godly appetite and be filled with joy, be able to bust through any kind of circumstances, but provisions will be provided. So we must maintain a godly appetite to stay close to the Lord. Is everybody okay? Praise God. In James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your what? Desires or your what? Appetite. For pleasure that war in your members. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not what? You don't ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your ungodly pleasures or ungodly appetites. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world? So now he explains, he said, look at the appetite of the world is an enemy of God. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself a what? Enemy of God. Again, the enemy's always trying to exchange godly appetite for ungodly appetite. That's how he does things. That's how he manipulates us. And verse 5, or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. So here's an area that we've got to be able to discern certain things. We should be acting on right desires and rejecting wrong desires. Amen? Why? To maintain a godly appetite. Because whatever desire, who's controlling these desires, in other words, whatever desires or appetite you're submitting under, has control over you. Does everybody get this? That's why even an addiction, that desire, that demon, that spirit that's in a person is promoting this appetite that a person can't stop. When I was an addict out there and using, I wanted to stop, and I couldn't. I couldn't stop. I tried everything, and I just couldn't stop until finally that demon was removed from me, and the desire and that appetite of ungodliness was gone. But now it's my responsibility to maintain being filled with the Spirit, maintaining that godly appetite, no matter how I feel, no matter what I think, no matter what my circumstances try to dictate. We are to rule over all things if we live from the future. If we are living from the past, the enemy has got access to you because he still wants to bring you to that place of old appetite. Does everybody get this? Old appetites. Hallelujah. Who controls your desire controls you. So we want the Lord to control our desires, which he's got a wonderful recipe for all of our godly appetites. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 3. Now I want you to understand that these epistles are written to believers. They're written to the church. And he writes and he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own what? Desires. Now, their own desires have been influenced by who? Satan's kingdom, spirits, darkness. Amen? Because they have what? Itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the what? Truth, because they have lost the godly appetite and have gone to a worldly appetite and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So we see here individuals' own desires. That's why people backslide. The temptation is the temptation which impresses into an individual to promote an ungodly appetite. It starts with an ungodly desire. Once they've taken that one desire, man, that appetite now is there. It's promoted an appetite where a person wants to constantly feed that demon. And it is a demon. Anything that is a fruit of ungodliness, there is a demon promoting it. And believers can have demons. Hello. In Genesis chapter 25. Genesis 25, please. In verse 29, two brothers, Jacob and Esau. In verse 29, it says, now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. Now, Esau was the one that was supposed to inherit because he was the firstborn. And he was supposed to inherit everything down the family line. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I am about to die. So what is this birthright to me? See, one of the things that the enemy tries to do is influence us to actually sell our birthright by exchanging a godly appetite for an ungodly one. Here was Esau, who was to inherit everything and was willing to sell his inheritance, his birthright, for a bowl of stew. Does everybody get this? You know how many people sold out? Sold out. They sold out the call of God. They sold out their mission. They sold out their families. They sold out everything for an ungodly appetite. I know many people that have gone to prison because they exchanged a godly appetite for an ungodly one, and they've lost it all. You know, every one of us has a specific call in the ministry, no matter what level, no matter where. And an area of maintaining a godly appetite is an area of maturing, being able to recognize that that influence, those boundaries that are set in our life by the Spirit, there's a sensitive arena that it's almost like lights go off that say, don't go there. Don't agree with that. Don't touch that. Why? Because people will exchange a godly appetite for an ungodly. I've seen people start with one cigarette and end up 25 years in prison. That's all it took. That's all it takes. One open door from the enemy where that person now has that desire promoting an ungodly appetite, and then another one comes. And another one comes. You know, sometimes you can't eat just one Twinkie. They have that commercial that Lay's potato chips. Bet you can't eat one. And I'll tell you, when you eat one, you want to eat another one, right? Hallelujah. So here he was. Esau sold his birthright to Jacob and exchanged his godly appetite for an ungodly one and lost. And when you follow Edom, they are Edomites, all the way down the family tradition and line, and what happened to them and what they turned into is phenomenal. Psalm 37. No, wait a minute. I want to finish this. I'm sorry. And verse 33, then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. He swore to him. He made covenant with him. He said, man, you got it. You got my birthright. He sold it to him. The problem is when Jacob received his birthright, right? Esau wanted to kill him. In Psalm 37, but it was too late. What was done was done. Psalm 37. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? In verse 1, let's speak it together. Psalm 37, verse 1. Do not fret. Do not what? Fret. Do not what? Fret. Don't fret because of what? Evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Why? Because they're prospering in ungodly ways. Does everybody get that? Don't fret about that. Don't be envious. Don't be concerned about it. God's got something special for you if you'll just wait on him. Verse 2. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Come on, read it with me. 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and what? Feed on his faithfulness. That's a good appetite, man. Feeding on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Why is he going to give you the desires of your heart? Because you're got a godly appetite. You're feeding on his faithfulness. It's producing godly desire. And he's going to give it to you. Hallelujah. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your what? Hello. Your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. And don't fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, and don't fret. It only causes harm. So we want to feed on his faithfulness. Amen? Okay. Maintaining a godly appetite, the first thing I really believe that we need to start doing is monitoring our thought patterns that reoccur. Monitoring a thought pattern that reoccurs and promotes negativity, rebellion, and oppression. I'm going to say that again. The first thing we want to do is monitor thought patterns that reoccur. You know, that same thought pattern that comes up again, that same voice that comes from nowhere, all of a sudden comes up, woo-hoo, and it's trying to promote negativity, rebellion, and oppression. In other words, we need to monitor these patterns that reoccur of negativity, rebellion, and oppression. Proverbs 25:7. So I'm going to share 7 things that are help us maintain a godly appetite. Proverbs 23. What's the first thing we're going to do is monitor our what? Thought patterns that reoccur with negativity, rebellion, and oppression. See, you know the thought by its fruit, won't you? Or you're going to know the fruit. Anyway, you'll know it. Verse 6. What's it say? Do not eat. Hello, here we go again. It's another desire. It's another appetite, isn't it? Don't eat the bread of a what? Miser, nor desire his what? Delicacies. In other words, don't pick up that appetite. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. So as a man thinks, so he is. So we've got to monitor these thoughts, reoccurring thoughts that bring negativity, rebellion, and oppression. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Let's speak it together. For though we walk in the flesh or the natural, we don't war according to the natural. In other words, we have a different warfare. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical or carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. A stronghold is a memory lie that will reoccur. So we're to be casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So when these thoughts come, you're going to compare them what God says. What's God say about me? Why? Because if I exchange what God says about me for what the devil says about me, I'm promoting an ungodly appetite. Does everybody understand that? In other words, the devil's always going to try to exchange a godly appetite, what God says about me. So I want to live from the future. I live from the future by what God says, who I am. The devil can only attack you from your past. So we want to cast down these arguments that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So you're going to compare what you heard with what God says. Amen? And it's now I want you to understand it. When you do that, you are becoming obedient. When you don't do that, you're not obedient. So when we're not monitoring our thoughts, we're disobedient. Watch, because this is what he says then. He says, and being ready to punish all disobedience when you're what? When is your obedience fulfilled? When you what? Grab those thoughts and bring them into captivity under Christ. Does everybody get it? So that you what? Compare. If you're not doing that, then you are disobedient. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. One of the things we need to do is monitor our eyes. Not these eyes. It's a demonic pizza. Okay, so that's the first thing we need to do. The second thing we need to do is recognize that associations bring impartations. Be careful what you associate with. Music, TV, books, all kinds of stuff. Associations bring impartations. People, in 1 Corinthians 15:33, is everybody there? Okay. Listen, if you're in the spirit, you want to hang around with someone that's in the flesh? No. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be what? Don't be deceived. Come on, monitor this. Evil company corrupts what? Good habits. So your associations will bring impartations. In Hebrews chapter, in Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. The Bible says, don't be unevenly yoked with what? Unbelievers, right? Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Would you read it with me? He who walks with wise men will be what? Wise. But the companion of fools will be what? Destroyed. Hello? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Would you read it with me, please? I wrote to you in my epistle not to what? Keep company with sexual immoral people. Hello? Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexual immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or with extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. Now, what he was saying was, don't be in fellowship with them, but you must walk among them no matter what. Hello? In other words, we're not going to approve same-sex marriage. We're not going to approve abortions. There are things that are ungodly that we won't approve of, but it doesn't mean we hate people. Amen? Because the love of Christ should hopefully turn them to want to know who you are and why are you different. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Verse 11. But now I have written to you not to what? Keep company with anyone named a brother. Hello, as a brother, a believer? Yes. Proclaiming to be a believer. Well, the word believe means to follow. So if they're in fornication, they're obviously not following. Don't keep company with anyone named a brother. Now, this could be sister too, okay? Who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a what? Drunkard or an extortioner. Not even to eat with such a person. Why? Because if you do, then you approve their lifestyle. Does everybody get that? You approve their lifestyle. For what I have to do with judging those who also who are outside, do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. Don't associate with them. Does everybody got it? Somebody chooses not to do the will of God, I don't associate with them. Go ahead. Grow for it. They want to live that way, that's up to them. Everybody must work out their own salvation. Amen. But we're always open to counsel or help anyone that wants to get that godly appetite back or to change their life. But you can't force someone to change their life. They got to have a desire to want to. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 3. This is all number two. Associations bring impartations. I think this is important. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 13, I think it is. Yes. 2 Thessalonians chapter, it's chapter 3, I'm sorry. In verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. Is everybody there? Sheesh. But as for you, brethren, don't grow weary in doing what? Good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person an idiot. Note that person and do not keep company with them. Hello? Don't keep company with them. That he may be what? Ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. In other words, hey, man, how you doing? God bless you. You want to come over for dinner? No, thank you. You want to go? No. Why? Because if you associate with it, you approve it. Does everybody get that? And that's how the enemy has that person think. Oh, they're willing to put up with my fornication. They're willing to put up with my lying. They're willing to, forget it, man. No association. Go. Well, what about the love of God? Here it is. Are you willing? You want some help? No? See ya. How many people did Jesus walk by? Many. He didn't go house to house hunting for people. They went looking for him. Everybody okay? The third thing, keeping the eyes and the ears open to the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Keeping the eyes and the ears open to the Spirit. In other words, be attentive to what the Spirit is saying. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. 4, what am I doing here? 1 Corinthians, it's 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I wrote it down wrong, but it's okay. 1 Corinthians 2, 9, would you read it with me? But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for what? Those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except for the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So how are you going to know these things? By being attentive with hearing and seeing what God has. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the carnal man doesn't get it, doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, this arena is by maintaining a godly appetite. Does everybody get this? Because you won't be, without maintaining a godly appetite, you won't be attentive. You will miss. You become dull, easily swayed. And one of the things the enemy does is sway people by their emotion. Anyone that lives by their emotion is the most dangerous people around. They're up one day, down next day, they're who knows where they are. They say one thing and they can't commit to what they say in Hebrews chapter 2. They live by feelings. That is addiction. Hello? They allow their desires, those feelings, to dictate their life. Hebrews chapter 2. But you don't know how I feel. I don't care either. I want to see fruits. I judge people by fruits, not how they feel. You can tell me how you feel all day long. It don't mean nothing to me. I want to know fruits. You judge everyone by a fruit. No granolas. Nutty and fruity. Just the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Hebrews 2. Hebrew. Verse 1. Therefore, we must what? Give more earnest heed. That means hearing. To the things we have heard, lest we what? Drift away. People drift away because they lose sight. In the area where they lose sensitivity, what the Spirit is saying, that the boundaries, they're stepping over the boundaries because they're not sensitive. They're allowing their emotions. Let me tell you, emotions will dull you. They will dull you from the things of the Spirit. You become dull when the Spirit is trying to say something because you're looking for a feeling. Mama and I went out one night. We were at this place of worship at this house. And a woman that began to talk said, "Can you feel the Spirit in here?" And I said, "Mom, I'm cooking. I'm so hot." And she says, "I am too." And it was hot in this place. And she goes, "Can you feel the heat of the Spirit?" I said, "Man, somebody needs to open that vent. That's what they need. This is not the Spirit. This is called heat. No AC." It was not the Spirit. It was not the heat of God's presence. It was the heat of somebody didn't pay the bill, I guess. I don't know. Hallelujah. So we must take heed, giving an ear and an eye to the Lord. For lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels. Again, lest we what? Drift away. And it's real easy if you're not doing maintaining certain things. It's easy to get drifted away by how you feel. Exchanging those things, keeping an eye and an ear open to the Spirit. The fourth thing is to stir yourself up. Say, stir myself up. Man, if you got to stick your finger in a socket, do it. If you need to ask your neighbor, slap me, do it. If you got to look in the mirror and cast out every spirit of negativity and oppression, do it. Some people need to spend a little bit more time in the mirror looking in their eyes. You might see somebody wave back. Then you better get rid of them. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Who's in your mirror? We have a teaching there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Stir yourself up. In verse 6. You look in the mirror and you see somebody wink at you. You better get rid of it. In verse 6, would you read it with me? Therefore I remind you to what? Stir up the gift which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Stirring up. What does he mean by stirring up? Go to Jude. Stir yourself up. Start quoting scripture. Start screaming hallelujah. Man, I do that in the store sometimes. I'm making contact all the time. Hallelujah! Yes. People around me may jump a little bit. I'll be looking for something special. I can't find it. I can sense myself getting frustrated. Hallelujah! Poor lady next to me almost passed out. But I got stirred up, kept going. In verse 20, would you read it with me? But you, beloved, building yourselves up means stirring yourself up. Amen? Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. How many of y'all need to increase your faith? Yeah. Praying what? In the Holy Spirit. Stirring yourself up. You're praying in the Spirit, man. That's praying in the Holy Ghost. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Stir yourself up. The fifth thing, sow in the Spirit. Sow in the Spirit. I'm not telling about sowing and making a garment. I'm talking about speaking and sowing in the Spirit, praise and worship. You stir yourself up. Did you get stirred up when you were worshiping? Amen. Why? Because sowing in the Spirit reaps life. Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Maintaining a godly appetite. Starting at verse 1, let's read the first 6 verses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you stirring yourself up? Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you, when goofy thoughts start coming, hallelujah, they stop. Why? Because when I call out hallelujah, it's praise the Lord. You know what he does? He sends angels. Those demons see those angels come and they boogie. They're gone. It happened to me in the car one time. It was one of his first times the Lord sent me out to speak somewhere. And I was in the van and I'm driving home and I could sense this big spirit behind me going, oh, you did really good. He was trying to promote pride. And I was trying to bind it and everything. And it's like, you know, I ain't got time for this. Father! I didn't even finish. He was thrown out. Father! That's all I needed to do was, Father! And I'm telling you, he threw him right on my car. There was peace and joy in that van, and I just drove home, and no problem at all. See, the enemy loves to promote pride. You understand that? He likes to promote fear. He likes to promote anything to exchange a godly appetite for an ungodly one. Psalm 138. Would you read it with me? I will what? Praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship towards your holy temple. I will praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. What did he do? He praised him. What happened? He got boldness and strength. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they will shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Sowing in the Spirit, in song, in word, and in decree. Somebody got it. In dance, amen. I mean, you've heard that saying, monkey on your back. You got a monkey on your back, just shake him off. Number six. Number six. Is everybody there? You ready? Abide. Everyone say abide.
Abide.
You got to abide. And what are you abiding in? You're abiding in the three areas. You abide in the word and prayer. You abide in praise and worship. You abide in fellowship and assembling. Amen? Assembling. John chapter 6. People that lack abiding exchange the appetite. You know what happens? They get comfortable by not being in God's presence. They get comfortable being separated from God. And because they believe that they know the word of God, they're okay. I'm okay, I know the word, but they're far from God. John 6, verse 54. Would you read it with me? Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has what? Eternal life. Hello. His flesh is known as his word, and his blood is known as his spirit. And I'll raise him up the last day, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats of my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will what? Will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not of your fathers who ate manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will what? Live forever. That is a godly appetite, abiding. In John 15, one of the things people, what happens, the enemy exchanges the desire for God's presence for more work habits. People become associated with work being fulfillment instead of God's presence. Does everybody get that? There's nothing wrong with work, but when it becomes, when it supersedes the desire for God's presence, something ain't right. It's an exchange. John 15, is everybody there? Verse 4. What does he say? Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do what? Nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you what desire. Why? Because that desire is a godly appetite, and it shall be what? Done for you. Does everybody get it? Ask. And I'm going to close it on the seventh one. Are you ready? Did you get it? We want to create routines of consistent warfare. You want to make it a tradition in your life that you warfare every day. Amen? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You want to create routines of consistent warfare. Because if you're not a first striker, you're going to get struck. 2 Thess chapter 2. This is called a tradition. You want to put a tradition in your life. It is a routine. This is a godly tradition. Does everybody understand it? This is a routine that you have set up by the Spirit to where it's a warfare, spiritual warfare. And I didn't get a chance to finish that warfare prayer, but we'll have it. And we're going to kick some butt because we need to infiltrate the dimensional ports, everything. And this prayer is going to kick every area. 2 Thessalonians. Anyone there yet? Okay, I'll be there. In verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1, would you read it with me? Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And we are seeing that. There is a falling away. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. So what is restraining him? The presence of God in the body of Christ, me and you. That is restraining the devil to become full-blown. But when we are removed, he will have full-blown hell on earth. Does everybody got it? Verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, you notice that's a capital letter, who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That is us. Until we are taken out of the way, which is the next event called the rapture. It's the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will eventually consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the what? Hold the what? Traditions, which is what? We're calling these routines. Created routines of consistent warfare. Hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good work or word and work. Maintaining a godly appetite is our responsibility, not God's. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be protected by the blood of Jesus and grow and bear fruit for your glory. And let the exchange of ungodly desires for godly desires start right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.